Good evening, and again, privileged to be gathered back here again with yous this evening. And again, greet each one in Jesus' name. The one we're again gathered together to pattern our lives after, learn more about, and also live. Put that in practice. I think for most of us, that's probably where the challenge is what we hear, what we're taught, is putting that into everyday life. I'm assuming most of us eat a meal today, if not three meals. We had food. So this evening, we take time to nourish our physical bodies. What about our spiritual life? For message text, turn with me to John chapter 6. Beginning of John 6, we have John's account of, call it feeding of the 5,000, or five loaves and two fish, and that miracle that took place, feeding a crowd of at least 5,000 people with one lad's lunch of five loaves, two fish. Now that whole crowd was fed. They were full. They had plenty to eat. And there was 12 baskets left over. And we have Jesus and his disciples crossing. Well, verse 15 of John 6, Jesus sent his disciples Jesus departed, and then his disciples went, crossed over the sea, and that's when tempest blew, great wind, verse 18, and they kept attempting to row out of this, and that's when Jesus came walking on the sea. Verse 22, the day following, people saw that Jesus and his disciples had left. So verse 24, they went after him. I'm going to start reading verse 25. And when they, of John chapter 6, verse 25, when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And I'll just stop reading there. So we have this crowd following Jesus. And they were seeking Jesus. Where did he go? And they did find him and his disciples again. And again, Jesus takes moments like this and teaches them. He's simply telling the crowd that you're not coming for, well, verse 26, ye seek me not because of the miracles, or simply Jesus is saying, you're not following me to see the spiritual lessons or even the miraculous things. He said, you're following me because you essentially got a free meal. You were filled physically. And he goes on to say that simply life is more than the physical. I mean, very much involves that. But there's something to life more than here and now. We just go on to say that he is the bread of life. Bread is considered a staple food, and a person can survive a long time on simply bread and water. And the term bread has kind of become synonymous for just simply referring to food in general. And Jesus was simply, again, pointing out to them that you're missing something. You're missing the fact that I am the Messiah, is what Jesus was teaching them, or trying to teach them. They were more concerned about their physical appetites than their spiritual nourishment. As I mentioned, most of us, or probably all of us, sat down at a meal sometime today. We took time to feed our physical bodies. And as we feed our physical bodies, if we want to be stewards of our physical health, we try and eat a diet of whole foods, good food, not just junk. How's that relate to the spiritual side of things, our spiritual life? We're consuming something that feeds our souls. Again, I believe that was the point Jesus was trying to relay to the crowd that followed him. Yes, our physical needs are necessary. We do need to eat to sustain our life. But there's something more. There's something Jesus was just, again, trying to teach this crowd, and there's just something more than the food, the bread and fish. This evening, every human being has a soul, has a part of us that's going to live forever. Yes, our bodies age, and someday each one of us will die. Our physical bodies quit. Life ends in the physical sense. But our souls, what are you consuming that is feeding your soul? What you feed your soul will determine which eternal destination. Jesus brings that out. If you eat the bread of life, you will have everlasting life. And if you simply, excuse me, if you're simply feeding your soul on the things of this world, the manna, as he refers it to, our souls will perish. So this evening, there's two options: everlasting life or everlasting death. And today we have a choice. This evening, you, I, each have a choice of what we're going to feed our souls. And it's a choice we need to make daily. Some days it comes easier, other days it takes discipline, intention. But we're consuming something. What are you consuming? What are you feeding your soul with? Is it the junk food of the world? Or, as Jesus refers to, the manna that leads to eternal death? Or are we feeding on the bread of life that Jesus says gives everlasting life? So if you want a message title, you can simply give it, "What Are You Feeding Your Soul?" So how do we feed our soul? How do we eat of this bread of life? But the first step is simply believing on Jesus as the giver and substance of life itself. As I mentioned, each of us have a choice. And we're going to choose to either believe on Jesus or simply by not making a choice to believe on Jesus, we are making a choice of not to believe on him. So Jesus is simply equating himself with bread. He's saying, I am essential for life. He says, I am the bread of life. If you want to live, if your soul is going to live in everlasting life, you need to partake of me. You need to believe on me. End of verse 27. The Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. The word sealed here means it is the eternal counsels of God the Father. He, or God, has sealed or designated and appointed Jesus to be the giver of everlasting life to those individuals who embrace him as their Savior and Lord. So it's only through believing on Jesus that we can then partake of this bread of life. Jesus is the one. He is the I am the bread of life. He's the one that imparts and sustains life. Just as our natural physical food sustains life, Jesus is the one that sustains our souls, our spiritual life. In verse 35 is man's part, is our choice. Come and believe. So the step is to come. We need to choose to go to Jesus. And we choose to believe on him. To come to Christ is to abandon the old life of sin and rebellion and choose to submit to Jesus as the master of your life. And to believe on Jesus is to acknowledge that he is the only true Savior to take care of our sin problem. To come and to believe means we're relying on him. Beginning of that verse 35 is, I am the bread of life. We are relying on him to give us that life, to feed our souls. Jesus is the true bread from heaven, which was sent to provide life for the world. And Jesus as the bread Jesus as the bread of life is what satisfies our hunger, our spiritual hunger. And even the meaning of life. Why are you here? Why were you born? It's those questions that Jesus is the answer for. The world doesn't know how to answer. They attempt in their way, or they give enough distractions so you don't have to think about those deep things of life. But it's only through Jesus that our soul finds true fulfillment and purpose. So how do we eat of this bread of life? The world about us is, I'm going to say, spiritually hungry. There's as I mentioned, the meaning, what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? Why am I here on earth? Why was I born? And just some of those questions, I guess to put it simple, you can't come to a logical answer without God. At some point in life, each of us, and maybe it's various times through life, we wrestle with those concepts. What is life about? What is my purpose? Our human hearts are restless until we eat of the bread of life. Jesus mentions different times of the, well, first of all, the crowd brings it up, verse 30, 31, simply saying our fathers, or the Israelites, ate manna, and he says, and it was written that it was bread from heaven, so they're asking how, what are you meaning by being the bread of life, is in other words of saying it. But Jesus says that manna simply sustained their physical bodies. And they died. Your fathers ate of the manna and they're dead. That bread was only to nourish and sustain their lives in the wilderness. Those 40 years as they wandered. But again, Jesus is driving or emphasizes different times that he is the only true living bread, the bread of life. It's something that's, life is, it's alive, it's not dead. So this evening, what appetite do you have physically? We have appetites, and but spiritually, as you think of your soul, your spiritual life, what appetite do you have? Do you have an appetite for God's word? Do you have an appetite for the bread of life? I believe there are two foundational things for feeding our spiritual life. I believe that's the scriptures and also the church. So looking first of all at the scriptures, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's all scripture, not just some. It's all. Scripture should speak to all of life. I'd read a book called The Wisdom Pyramid. I'm just going to quote just a few sentences out of there. He writes, we can sometimes look at scripture as a resource that only speaks to the state of our soul or offers tips for moral life. Because it is the Word of God who is Lord over all, Scripture speaks to us about everything. We should not see the Bible as a manual for how to escape this world, but rather as a book of wisdom for, in part, applying God's... Let me start over there. We should not see the Bible as a manual for how to escape this world, but rather as a book of wisdom for, in part, applying God's word revealed truth to all of life now. And end of quote. So simply what he's saying is, it's not just some scripture. It's very easy to, we have our favorite Bible verses, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. But do we know the context around that? And it's, we need to take the scripture as a whole, not just parts. We need to be very careful not to simply take it in piecemeal fashion. I know we, with families raising children, we try and get them to eat a variety of things. If we just let them eat what they want, they just pick little pieces here and there of the things they want. But we cannot, should not do that with the scripture. We need to take it as a whole. We get the most out of the Bible when we read it in big chunks, even by chapters, and grasp the grand narrative of the Bible. And the truth of any given verse becomes clear when we see it in the larger context. So that's why it's good to read through chapters, read through the books of the Bible. Topical, devotional, some of those are fine, they have their place. But do we know what the whole Bible says? We must avoid picking and choosing only the parts we like, or using some, I'm going to say random or Bible verse we pulled out of context to defend my selfish viewpoint. It happens. I think you're all aware of that. People take things out of context. They aren't taking Scripture as a whole. Scripture speaks to all of life. So let's study the Bible as a whole. Feed your soul on the Scriptures. Second point here is Scripture should define your paradigm, not the other way around. In other words, Scripture should define you, define how you look at life, how you view life, not taking Scripture and making it say what I want to say. So are we digging into the Scripture? Are we reading the Bible? Are we coming to the Bible to be shaped by it? Or are we coming to the Bible to shape it into what we want it to be? It can very easily creep into our Anabaptist circles, but it's something you see in the nominal Christianity. And even in Christian politics, they use the Bible to justify where they stand on things by simply they try and force the Bible into how they want to view life instead of letting the Scripture form us, shape our outlook. Bad things happen when we start shaping Scripture around us rather than ourselves around Scripture. And we must always be on guard against force-fitting Scripture into boxes of our thinking. So don't take Scripture and force it into how you want to believe. Let Scripture form your belief system, your worldview. Let Scripture do that. Scripture should spark worship and obedience. James 1, verse 22, is we're called to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Our lives should be beautifully transformed by the Bible because we obey what it says. It's very easy to hear something. It's another thing to live it out, to do it. So as you read the Bible, as you meditate on the Bible, as you hear it preached here every Sunday morning, and whenever other times you have church services, are you living that out? We should be reading the Bible to know its author better, which is God. If you want to know God more, read His Word, read His Scripture. And then we obey God's Word because of our love for Jesus and what Jesus has done for Him. We become doers of the Word because we are lovers of God. So read God's Word, memorize it, meditate it, meditate upon it, study it. But then also live it out. So this morning, or this evening, what am I feeding my soul? What are you feeding your soul? Are we feeding it Scripture, the infallible, holy source of truth, which is God's Word? So often, You wonder what's truth. With all our podcasts, YouTube videos, social media, you can get anyone's. There's someone out there that you can that agrees with whatever idea you have. You can find them. Any random idea, conspiracy theory, whatever, there's people out there you can find there to back up, or supposedly, I'm going to say back up, or try to support random ideas. But is that what you're concerned about? Finding people you don't really know? Or are we going to the Bible? Are we digging into God's word? When we have questions, what is truth or what is right? How should we live? It's the Bible. It's the scripture. But do we treasure it? Do we delight in it? Do we meditate on it? Psalm 119. Take time to read it sometime. There's just different, and read, I know it's the longest chapter in the Bible, but read it. Because there's different times over and over the psalmist mentions his delight for the word and what God's word is to him and does for us. So do we, as you read Psalm 119 sometime, can you get the same feeling that you did of what does God's word mean to you? Do we wake in the morning with the hunger for God's word, for daily sustenance of the scripture? Another quote from this book. Do we wake in the morning with a hunger for the sweeter than honey daily sustenance of scripture, full of God-given nutrients that have fed billions of people over thousands of years? Or do we instead go to the vending machines of our smartphones, snacking on whatever addictive candy appeals to our tastes in the moment? Do we take what's the easiest? But is the Christian life about what's the easiest? Or are we going to discipline ourselves to feed our souls on the bread of life? The last one here is the church. I believe that the church is also important for helping each one of us feed our souls. Western Christianity puts heavy emphasis on the individual and little, if any, emphasis on communal or brotherhood. Protestant. Not just Protestant, but nominal Christianity. And again, it's something we as Anabaptists face as well, is this thing of, well, it's just me and God. Yes, it starts there. But God did not intend for the Christian to live life on just him, on just, there's the vertical relationship between God and I, but then it also flows out horizontal to the brothers and sisters around us, to the community, the brotherhood. Part of knowing scripture well is knowing it in community, or knowing it in church, in local brotherhood. Because on my own, I do not have all the answers. And the brother shares Sunday morning, whether it's devotions or it's Sunday school, whether it's the message. And it's like, you know, I never thought of it in that way. Or you're inspired again, or maybe even convicted that you need a change. And God uses that. Yes, the word, the scripture is important. We need to read it. But there's also an aspect that's feeding our souls is getting input from brothers and sisters. That's one of the reasons why brotherhood, why church is important. Church brings fullness and focus to our understanding and application of God's truth in ways that go deeper than just the me and Jesus approach can provide. Church community frees you from the crushing weight of self-obsession. Instead of you trying to figure out life all on your own, we have a brotherhood. We can depend on our brothers and sisters to help us. Church community also helps us focus on something bigger, something more important than just me. It's how as my life is blessed, are we looking for opportunities to bless others? But yes, church community can be challenging. But it's those challenges that help us grow. It's community where we're encouraged. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says to stir up one another unto love and to good works. Church is a community of spirit-enabled transformation, where God has given different gifts to different individuals for building up of the collective body. It's found in 1 Corinthians 12. And it's even in brotherhood, in community, to help us feed our souls, that, yeah, help us see our blind spots, our flat spots, areas we need to improve on. The diverse community of walking, talking, living examples of Christ's likeness that we can observe and emulate. The church does not exist to serve our own self. The church does not exist to serve our interests on our own terms. The church is here for each one of us to help us along the way, along the spiritual way, help us nourish our souls. The church is to bring glory to God, and through that, by making faithful and holy disciples of Jesus. So this evening, whether we think of it, whether we don't, we are feeding our souls something. You're consuming something. So what are you feeding your soul? What am I feeding my soul? Is it the manna of this world? Or is it the bread of life? Just close with verse 35 out of John 6. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let's kneel for prayer.